Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. The time is 7 minutes after 1 p.m., April 21st, 2022. Today, I'm joined by Senator Bishop, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Wilson, Senator Hoffman. We got some amendments we're going to work on the operating budget, but first, under bills previously heard, we're going to bring up Senate Bill 199. And 199 is the Permanent Fund Dividend Bill. And we are going to open it up for amendments. And Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number one.
Jack.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number one starts on page 2 and 3. Basically, Mr. Chair, this amendment moves may and puts in shall. I truly understand. I think everyone here in this body understands that this is still a appropriations can always be changed at the will of the legislature, but just feel that I think we're trying to rebuild trust with the people of Alaska, and having the shell there shows our legislative intent that we will try our best to follow the law with this piece of legislation. And this is the only amendment I'm offering at this time here because I feel this bill will be fully worked out on the floor. So with that, amendment number one.
Okay, we have amendment number one. Any other comments on amendment number one? I maintain my objection. Senator Olson, you have a comment.
Senator Wilson, what exactly does it do by changing those two words? Can you put it in a nutshell?
Yeah, it just has a better intent to say the legislature shall follow this formula. And trying to show the people of Alaska that we are serious and not just putting a placeholder and changing the formula of the dividend.
And the end result is?
Is just the intent of the legislature that we shall pay these payments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any other comments, Senator Wilikowski? Seeing no other comment, I'll go ahead and maintain my objection for the adoption of amendment number one. Clerk, call the roll.
Yes.
Senator Wilson.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
No.
Senator Stedman.
No.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Okay, amendment number one did not become an adoption amendment. We're back to the original bill. Does any committee members have any other amendments they want to offer at this time on Senate Bill 199? Seeing none, we'll have a brief at ease. Come back on the record, please. We have a motion from Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Finance Committee move SB 199 from committee with the attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Okay, and I'll go ahead and object for discussion and open the discussion up for committee members who would like to be first. Okay. Senator Wilson, do you want to make open up comments, please?
Sure. Yes, Mr. Chair. You know, this is an important piece of legislation to get on the floor for the body, for the full Senate to debate. I feel that most of those amendments and discussions will be carried out there. I'm not in favor of this bill the way it currently stands, but feel that this is, again, an important piece of legislation that we should work out on the Senate floor.
Okay. Any other comments, Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, we'll have, I'm sure, a lot of discussion about this on the floor when it comes up. I don't support the bill. I think this bill deals, for the public that's watching it, deals with restructuring of the permanent fund dividend statute, and which has been an issue since 2016. And we've had a statute on the books that has not been followed for the last 6 years. There was just an amendment to say that a dividend shall be paid, and that amendment was defeated. I think the only way that we really solve this problem is the issue of the dividend, I should say, is by putting it in the Constitution. That's the only way that we can provide the stability, the predictability, the consistency that I think the people of Alaska deserve. We always hear from the corporations, the business community, that they want consistency, they want stability, they want to know what's coming down the road, and rightfully so, and how are, you know, what sort of policies we'll have in place that'll impact them. And I think Alaskans deserve the same. I think Alaskans deserve a policy that has some consistency to it. And I think whether this bill passes or not, you could pay a 50-50 statutory dividend, you could pay a 75-25 dividend, you could pay zero dividend. It just doesn't provide the consistency, in my opinion. I think the solution is a constitutional amendment, and that I think is the something that Alaskans would prefer to see and would support, quite frankly. And with that, I look forward to the debate on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Senator Von Imhoff and then Senator Olson.
Thank you. So the one section of the bill that I just want to comment on today is that I don't think that we should tax people in order to pay a dividend. And I know there's a provision in there and it's a contingency, but I just think in concept, I mean, why should we take money out of someone's paycheck only to turn around and deposit it into the personal checking account of their neighbor? And I just don't agree. I don't necessarily support this bill, but I do support to move it to the next community of referral. So I just want to put that on the record. Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly was in favor of the amendment that was previously offered, but I will not be objecting to moving it out of committee as well. Okay. It's not the best bill, not the perfect bill, nothing ever will be, but at least at this point it'll not inhibit the distribution of the permanent fund dividend that many of my constituents are in favor of.
Okay. Further comments? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the motion to move the bill from the committee to the next committee referral. Do we have further objection moving the bill from committee? Seeing no further objection, Senate Bill 199 will move to the next committee referral. We're now going to go into the operating budget, and we're going to work on some amendments there. And the mental health budget. This will not be the final action today for those watching at home and those who are in the audience. We are going to look to the committee for adoption of some amendments, and then there are several other areas within the bill that we are continuing to work on. So this bill will be back before the committee. The committee previously, we'll have a brief at ease. come back on the record. We're now going to take up House Bill 281, the operating budget, for amendments. So we have several amendments, and we'd like to go ahead and start. I have a motion, adoption of amendment number one. A brief at ease. Come back on the record. We're going to go ahead and we're bringing up House Bill 281. It's the operating budget. We're going to walk through amendments. We have a series of them. I don't know how many. There's quite a few, 20 or so. I'd like to go ahead and start. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one.
And I'll object for discussion. And I'd like to refer to Mr. Eklund from my office on the amendments. If you could walk us through amendment number one, Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pete Eklund, staff to Senator Stedman and the Finance Committee. Amendment number one is a technical amendment, Mr. Chairman. You may recall in an earlier version of the operating budget, there was a $250 million appropriation for oil and gas tax credits in FY23. That was changed to not to exceed $349 million in FY23. And in it, the $250 million appropriation was inadvertently left in the bill, so we need to remove that $250 million appropriation. And then the latter half of the page is just moving from one allocation, the Public Health Administrative Services allocation, moving it to the correct allocation, the appropriation for $120,000 to the chronic disease prevention and health promotion allocations. Just two technical things, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I'll go ahead and, any comments, other comments on this? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number one. We have further objection to the adoption of amendment number one. Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. We'll go on now to amendment number two. Senator Bishop.
I move amendment number two.
I'll object for the opportunity for discussion. And Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number two would appropriate $60 million outside of the base student allocation formula to have it distributed by the adjusted average daily membership as if it was running through the base student allocation formula, Mr. Chairman.
Any comments on it? Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand the purpose of this outside of funding the BSA. I just hope that we can settle this BSA situation by setting up a task force or some type of committee, either through an executive order from the administrative branch or from maybe a piece of legislation in a later year, that we could really work on this to redevelop the school funding formula.
Okay. Any other comments on amendment number two? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number two. Any further objection to adoption of amendment number two? Seeing none, amendment number two is adopted. Senator Bishop.
I move amendment number three.
And I'll object to the adoption of amendment number three for discussion. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number three, I believe it was last night, we got a few more amendments from the Office of Management and Budget. Amendment number three is for an additional $7.5 million in judgments and claims for Miller Construction, basically versus the Department of Transportation. It's a settlement of a dispute.
Okay. Any comments, questions on this amendment? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number three. Any further objection to adoption of amendment number three? Seeing none, amendment number three is adopted. Senator Bishop.
I move amendment number four, Mr. Chairman.
I'll object for discussion. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number four would allocate or spread $17.8 million of an appropriation to the university. It would basically it would allocate that appropriation amongst the different campuses of the university, as opposed to just having two generic system-wide budget reductions or additions allocations. So it simply takes a $17.8 million addition that's already in the budget and just allocates it to different campuses per the university's request.
Okay. Do you have any other any comments on this amendment? Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So, Mr. Eklund, it's per the university's request. They've asked this for this amendment.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, that's correct.
Any further comments? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number four. Any further objection to the adoption of amendment number four? Okay, hearing none, amendment number four is adopted. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number five.
And I'll object for discussion. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number five, you may recall the committee had a hearing a couple weeks ago, I believe, regarding the an issue of bonuses and incentives that are offered by different state agencies. Per advice from our legislative legal services, you were advised that for the letters of agreement to offer incentives and bonuses to certain state employees, that the legislature, I guess for lack of a better word, would have to bless or approve those items, those letters of agreement. And so what amendment number five does, Mr. Chairman, is it would approve those letters of agreements, but it would also ask for two reports to come to both Legislative Finance Division and the co-chairs of the House and Senate Finance Committees that would describe the dollar amounts the dollar amounts that would have been paid to different classes of employees who accepted the bonus or an incentive. And also, Mr. Chairman, that each letter of agreement that is agreed or signed into would be that information would be transmitted to the Legislative Finance Division within 30 days, so the legislature can be more aware and informed about the different letters of agreements that are occurring in the executive branch.
Any comments? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Eklund, as you look at this, are there any departments that are not eligible for these bonuses and incentives?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't believe so. It's up to the Department of Administration to negotiate letters of agreements with the different unions for the different classes of employees. Perhaps maybe only the legislature would be exempt from this, perhaps, Mr.
Hello, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So specifically the Department of Transportation, which includes the airport personnel that are keeping our airports clean and the Department of Law, are not exempted.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. They're
Thank
not
you, Mr.
exempted.
Chairman. No further questions.
Any further comments on amendment number five? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number five. Any further adoption to the objection, amendment number five? Seeing none, we'll go on to amendment number six. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number six.
And I'll object for discussion, Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number six, you may recall you've had recent hearings on the IGA bill that the executive branch put forward. Amendment number six has different components of operating budget related IGA appropriations put forward by the executive branch. The ones that the amendment in front of you is for, in the most part, it is for the increased activity that's happening in the executive branch for drinking water, Mr. Chairman, but I guess what I'll do, I'll just walk through them one by one because there is a hodgepodge of different items here, Mr. Chairman. So the first item is a broadband office for $513,000 of CIP receipts, and there is a corresponding capital budget request of $6 million that Senator Bishop will be taking up at some point, Mr. Chairman, in the capital budget. The next item is for $666,000 for two full-time positions for the Rural Utility Business Advisor Support for Infrastructure Program, otherwise known as RUBA. On page 9, Mr. Chairman, the next item is for $471,000 for the Division of Drinking Water and Wastewater Infrastructure for FY23 through FY27. The next item is $8.1 million of federal receipts for Division E Title I Drinking Water and Federal Infrastructure for FY23 through 27. Then on the next page, Mr. Chairman, page 10, there's $1 million of federal receipts for spill prevention and response. Then $1.5 million, Mr. Chairman, in CIP receipts for the Division J Title VI Federal Infrastructure Indian Health Services Village Safe Water Support. Then the last item on that page is $4.5 million for Title E or Division E Title I Drinking Water Federal Infrastructure Drinking Water Program Implementation. Going to page 11, Mr. Chairman, is $1.1 million for Division E Title II Clean Water Federal Infrastructure Clean Water Program Implementation. And lastly, on page 11 is $135,000, Mr. Chairman, and this is unrestricted general funds, and this is a little more of a discretionary item in this IJA amendment. This is to add one person to help implement the larger federal programs that are now happening because of the increased federal money coming in for these drinking water programs, Mr. Chairman. And then on page 12, the top of page 12, you may recall, Mr. Chairman, that there was a $5 million request to set up an infrastructure office in the governor's office to help manage the IJA funds coming into the state. This amendment would put a $1 million appropriation as an increment, one-time item for that office and those operations. And the intent, Mr. Chairman, would be for the administration to come back next year and request whatever they might need, whether that be another $1 million or something different than that, but to have them come back to the legislature on a yearly basis to man that office. Then lastly, on page 12, Mr. Chairman, is $314,000 of federal receipts for the low-income home energy assistance program, or LIHEAP. And that is in total the IJA amendment, Mr. Chairman.
So on amendment number 6, do we have questions, comments? You member? Okay. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number 6. Any further objection to the adoption of amendment number 6? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adopt amendment number 6. We'll go on to amendment number 7. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 7.
I'll object for discussion. Mr. Ekman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 7 is $1.7 million for security and monitoring services, or cybersecurity, Mr. Chairman. It was originally requested by the executive branch as a capital project. After further review and discussing with the capital co-chair's office and legislative finance, it was determined that this is better suited as an operating budget item. So it's a multi-year FY22 through 24 $1.7 million operating item, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is there any questions, concerns on amendment number 7? Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this the amount that was requested by the Department of Administration?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, yes, it is.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Eklund, is this every year they're going to be getting $1.7 million and they don't? Is that true?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, no, they have, basically, they're going to have 3 years to expend the funds.
I see, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further comments, Senator Wilkowski?
I'm just curious why it's in the operating budget, not the capital budget.
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, just from talking to the capital co-chair's office and legislative finance, it just seemed like it was more operating budget in nature rather than a capital budget. It's paying for services, for cybersecurity services, and it just seemed like it was more appropriate as an operating item.
Any further questions or concerns? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number 7. We have further objection to the adoption of amendment number 7. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adopt amendment number 7. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 8.
I'll object for discussion. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 8, you may recall also that included in the CS number 2, I believe, there was a settlement between the General Government Unit, or GGU, union and the state of Alaska. And that agreement allowed for a 3% salary increase in FY23 for GGU members. Amendment number 8, Mr. Chairman, is at the request of the judiciary. It is a 3% salary increase in FY23 for members of the judiciary who are not judges. It's roughly $1.8 million, if I remember right. Yes, $1.798 million, Mr. Chairman, and it's for the court system to basically match the raise given to the GGU members.
Okay. Do you have any questions, concerns on this amendment? Okay, I'll go ahead. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number 8. Any further objection to the adoption of amendment number 8? Seeing none, we'll go on to amendment number 8 is adopted. We'll go to number 9. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 9.
And I'll object for the adoption, or excuse me, for discussion purposes. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 9 has 5 different parts, so I'll go through the different parts, Mr. Chairman. But just for a little background, we've been meeting with the Department of Fish and Game and the commissioner, staff from various members' offices, and myself in legislative finance. We've had a few meetings the last couple of weeks trying to adjust some of the actions taken by the subcommittee. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'll just walk through the different parts of this amendment. Actually, part number 1 is a supplemental request for $1.2 million of UGF. It's to address SB 55 that we passed last year when we changed the PERS rate. We adjusted the amount of the PERS rate that is paid in the operating budget by the various departments, and this is an adjustment in cleaning up the fund sources used to pay the PERS cost for the Department of Fish and Game. They have various fund sources that we attempted to use, but they're hollow. There's no actual money in some of those fund sources, and so they need unrestricted general funds of $1.2 million. That's what Part 1 does. And again, that's a supplemental request. Part 2 is also a supplemental request, Mr. Chairman. It involves adding $1.8 million of UGF and decrementing $1.8 million of commercial crew license receipts. In the FY22 budget, we overspent commercial crew license receipts, and so if we're proposing this fund swap, so there's not a deficit in commercial crew license receipts in FY23. And then part number 3, Mr. Chairman, is the subcommittee removed $4.5 million of commercial fishery entry commission receipts in the commercial fisheries appropriation. Amendment number 3 would adjust that, so it's going to decrement $3 million of UGF and add back $3 million of commercial fishery entry commission receipts into the commercial fisheries appropriation. And Mr. Chairman, this amendment is a result of working with the department over the last couple of weeks. And part four, Mr. Chairman, is also in consultation with the department. It is adding just a little over $1 million of federal funds to the new appropriation for the Anchorage and Fairbanks hatcheries, Mr. Chairman. And then lastly, part number five is in wildlife conservation. It is in further consultation with the department. We are reversing what the subcommittee originally proposed. We're deleting $5 million of unrestricted general funds, and we're adding $7.5 million of fish and game funds, Mr. Chairman. And that is amendment number nine.
And there's more work to be done on the fish and game budget. It'll be forthcoming in future meetings. So this is the majority of the work in that department. We have comments on this. Senator Wilkowski and Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your work on this. I had an amendment number 21, which tried to address this issue. Does it in a little bit different way. So I'm trying to align the numbers and see which ones align with which. I'm wondering if the department is online and has had an opportunity to analyze this in any way.
I don't see him online, but we're going to have another opportunity to have amendments on the fish and game budget. And if you look at the alignment of your later amendment, assuming that this amendment passes, and you're dissatisfied or you notice an error, there'll be opportunity to make further refinements. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Eklund, on number five, we got the 7.5. Are those DGF that's being replaced in the UGF?
Excuse me, on part number five, Senator Olson?
Yeah, part number five, where you have $5 million of unrestricted general funds, are you replacing that with 7.5 of designated general funds?
Yes. Excuse me, through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, those are fish and game funds.
Thank you very much, DGF. Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions on amendment number nine? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number nine. Any further objection to the adoption of amendment number nine? Seeing none, amendment number nine is adopted. We will go to Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 10.
And I will object for further discussion. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 10 would, in FY23, Mr. Chairman, if there is any lapsing balances after all appropriations are fulfilled, Mr. Chairman, amendment number 10 would take those lapsing balances and deposit them in the statutory budget reserve.
Okay. Any questions on amendment or concerns on amendment number 10? Okay, seeing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of amendment number 10. Any further objection to the adoption of amendment number 10? Seeing none, amendment number 10 is adopted. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 11.
I'll object to the adoption of amendment number 11. For further discussion, we'll have a brief at ease. come back on the record. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to withdraw my motion on amendment number 11.
Okay, thank you. Senator Wilikowski, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I move amendment number 11.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was brought to my attention, and it's in some ways a conforming amendment. It decrements the executive office allocation by amount that was previously budgeted for communications director and press secretary positions. It's not directed at any individuals at all. It's just looking at the organizational chart from the governor's office, the executive branch. There are, you can see there, from the FY 2022 org chart, there's two in the sort of left portion for communications director and press secretary. They are not shown on this FY 2023 budget anywhere. And then those positions have been vacant since October of 2019, at least. So they were the funding for these positions, both positions have been vacant since October 2019, although they have been funded in the FY 2021 and FY 2022 positions. So this just simply removes the funding for those positions, which do not show up on the organizational chart. Thank you.
Okay. Further comment on amendment number 11? Senator Wilson.
Yeah, just wondering why it didn't show up on the chart, if it was just an omission by OMB or if it was a truly just a reclassification of the position.
The OMB director's here. Would you like me to ask him? You want to come forward, please? If you've had time to look at amendment number 11, if not, we can give you, we'll have a brief at ease so you could prep or?
Thank you. For the record, Neil Steinger, Director, Office of Management and Budget. So the two positions here being discussed, the communications director and the press secretary, are PCNs 01076X and PCN 01082X. The PCN 076X was reclassified to a deputy chief of staff position and is currently filled. 082X was reclassified to a policy coordinator position, which to my understanding is currently vacant, but it was reclassified from the original purpose, the position being discussed here in this amendment. These two positions were included in the budget and included in the organizational charts included in the fiscal year 23 budget. They just simply had different titles.
So you, for those watching at home, so you need the money to make your payroll for your hired employees, is that correct? Or?
Chair Stedman, that is correct. These PCNs simply have been repurposed from the purpose they're included in the fiscal year 22 budget.
Any other comments? Any other members? Okay, with Senator Olson.
Mr. Steininger, it sounds like what you're saying is that even though you're saying that they should be filled because even though they're not filled, you still want them to be, the money to be appropriated for that. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, one of these positions is filled. And so in order to make that payroll, the money would need to be appropriated. The other is currently vacant, but is still a necessary position, and that's why it was included in the budget. Often agencies will reclassify positions for different purposes over the course of the year as the nature of operations changes.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many vacant positions are there on the governor's FY 2023 organizational chart?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I'd have to get back to you with that number. I don't have that offhand.
And then, if I could, Mr. Chairman.
So
you're saying the communications director 01082X became a policy position?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, yes, I believe the new title is policy coordinator.
Okay, and then if I could, Mr. Chairman, the press secretary became a deputy chief of staff?
That is correct.
Okay, and so there's no more press secretary and no more communications director?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, we have a deputy press secretary and a deputy communications director, I believe. But I would have to, I can get back to you with the org chart that was included with the fiscal year 23 budget.
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to table this or set this aside or however you'd like to proceed so I can sit down with the department and clarify this, what's happening here.
Yeah, we can set this amendment aside as requested by the amendment sponsor. And again, for those watching at home and in the audience, this is not the final action on this bill. So there will be a handful of other amendments coming forward as we work through some more detail in the next several days. So, Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Mr. Steininger, just one quick question. Are you actively recruiting for the vacant position?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, I would have to consult with others in the office on recruitment efforts.
If you can get back to the committee with some help on this issue, and we'll dispense the information amongst committee members for further consideration.
Certainly.
Okay. Senator Wilson, did you have a question? Or?
No, I was just going to follow up then maybe with the Senator Wilikowski and the department on the same question on how many vacant positions on this org chart are there, and would it just be better just to do a decrement without naming the positions would be a better proposal to this amendment.
Okay, so we'll await the response from the OMB director. Okay, we'll move on now. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 12.
I'll object to the adoption of amendment number 12 for discussion. Senator Wilikowski.
Okay, thank you. This is intent language that the legislature intends that no funds shall be expended for any activity related to the Supreme Court case of Torres versus Texas Department of Public Safety. That's a United States Supreme Court case. It just came to my attention in the last week. I had a community council meeting where I called in, and I had a town hall meeting this weekend, and I had some very, very concerned National Guard members about this case. What happened in the case was it's a Texas case, and there was an individual who was a member, worked in Texas. He was a member of the National Guard. He was a public employee. He was deployed to Iraq, and he sustained lung damage as a result of his service in Iraq, came back, sought to get his job back in Texas, his public employee job. And Texas refused to give him his job back. He attempted to file a lawsuit under a federal law, the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. It is a law that is intended to protect people like Mr. Torres, National Guardsmen who serve our country, get injured, and have protections in getting their jobs back. Texas refused to give him his job back. There was a lawsuit. The case is now before the United States Supreme Court. Texas is claiming absolute sovereign immunity, saying the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, also known as USERRA, does not apply. The National Guard members that I've talked to here are extremely concerned about this case. They feel like it's undermining the rights of Guard members and Reserve members to return to their civilian jobs after going and serving our nation. And the state, for some reason, which I do not fully understand, has joined an amicus curiae brief supporting Texas's position and opposing the rights of National Guard members. And this is a case that the National Veterans Legal Services Program has filed an amicus opposing Texas's position. The Reserve Organization of America has filed an amicus brief opposing Texas's position. And according to the National Veterans Legal Services Program, according to the brief, quote, the issue is of particular importance as hundreds of thousands of veterans and service members are employed by and face discrimination from state and local agencies. I don't think that the state of Alaska, with the largest veteran population in the United States and a huge reserve population and a huge active duty population, should be supporting a lawsuit that is going to take away the rights of National Guard members. Now, in terms of money that's been spent, it's probably not a lot. State joined on, signed on as an amicus, but it certainly involved somebody reviewing the case to and monitoring the case. So there's probably a little bit of money, and the case could get remanded back to a lower court, in which case the state potentially could join and spend more money. So I don't think this is a case that we should be involved in, and this is simply intent language saying that we don't think funds should be expended in this lawsuit. Thank you.
Any further comments? Senator Von Imhoff.
Does it make sense to have the Department of Law talk about this, or do we have enough information to evaluate this?
We'll have a brief at ease. On the record, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 12. Any further objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 12? Seeing none, Amendment Number 12 is adopted. We'll go on now to Amendment Number 13.
Move Amendment Number 13.
Senator Wilikowski.
Move Amendment Number 13.
Object for discussion, Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment would pay a dividend according to the statutory formula that currently exists in law.
Okay, we have any further comment on this amendment? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and maintain my objection. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
No.
Yes.
Senator Wilson.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Senator Stedman.
No.
3 days, 4 days.
The amendment did not pass. It'll be set aside. Going now to Amendment Number 14, Mr. Senator Wilikowski.
Move Amendment Number 14.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Wilikowski, can you explain Amendment Number 14, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's some documents, some backup documents attached here. This would delete FY 2022 oil and gas tax credit funding, and as you can see, we've had this discussion at this table for many years. There's a statute that discusses how the oil and gas tax credits, refundable tax credits, are suggested to be paid. I should add, this is a purely discretionary fund, subject to legislative appropriation, subject to the issuance of tax certificates by the Director of Tax. And if you look at page 28, the statute suggests how the tax credits are to be paid. And you can go down and you see it highlighted there, the applicable percentage from taxes levied at $60 a barrel or higher is 10%. It is my position, our position, that FY 2022, actually we overpaid the amount of funds, and this is according to legislative finance analysis that I had done. And so this just simply removes the oil and gas tax credit funding for FY 2022 that's added in this provision of the budget.
Any further comment on Amendment Number 14? At ease, Mr. Senator Olson.
At ease.
At ease. We'll have a brief at ease. come back on the record. We've been working on amendment number 14, Senator Wilikowski's amendment dealing with oil tax credits, deletes FY22 oil tax credit funding. Do we have further discussion or comments on Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, so there's an additional backup on your table, Mr. Chair. And it's a document that looks like this. It's from Connor Bell, who's with Legislative Finance. And it's addressed to my staff. And if you look at number one, it says, under the post-credits interpretation, the FY 2022 statutory appropriation would have been $36.9 million. The FY 22 budget appropriated $54 million, so more than 36.9. So what happened in FY 22 was the statutory appropriation should have been 36.9. The legislature appropriated 54. So we already appropriated more money than they should have gotten. And now in this budget, we're appropriating another $60 million on top of that. This amendment would remove the 60. They've already gotten more money than the statute suggests they should get. And I'm simply removing this other provision in line, page 75, line 23 and 24. We're following the statute. We give more than the statute said they should have gotten. I don't think we should be giving another $60 million.
Okay. We have any other comments on this? I'll go ahead, seeing none, I'll maintain my objection. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
No.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yes.
Senator Wilson.
No.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Stebbins.
No.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Amendment did not pass, so we'll go on now to amendment number 15. Senator Wilikowski.
Move amendment number 15.
I'll object for further discussion. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you. This deals with the FY23 oil and gas tax credits. And again, if you look at this email from Connor Bell, you see, and I can read it, number two, at Department of Revenue's spring forecast FY23 price of $101 a barrel. The post-credits interpretation is $253 million appropriation. At $80 a barrel oil, it would be $124.9 million. So this is addressing that amount that should be at $80 a barrel oil. The next amendment addresses the amount, and the way you did it, Mr. Chairman, as you know, and just so the public knows, there were two different amounts that were provided. There was an amount for $101 oil, and there was an amount for $80 oil. This amendment simply addresses the amount of tax credits that the state would allow at $80 per barrel oil. It should be $124.9 million as opposed to $349 million, and that's what this amendment does. It cuts it down. I don't think we should be paying out more than what the statute suggests, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any further comments or concerns? We're going to have a brief at ease. Back on the record, we have any further comments, concerns on amendment number 15? Okay, I'll maintain my objection. Our clerk, call the roll.
Senator Von Imhoff.
No.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yes.
Senator Wilson.
No.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Senator Stebbins.
No. Okay, yeah. Amendment did not pass. Amendment 15. We'll now move on to amendment number 16. Senator Wilikowski.
This is a similar amendment as I previously discussed, Mr. Chair. I see where this is headed, so I'm not going to offer amendment number 16 at this point.
Thank you. We will go ahead and bypass amendment number 16 if there's no other sponsors for it. We'll go on now to amendment number 17. Amendment number 17 is by Senator Welikowski.
Move amendment number 17.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Welikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this amendment deals with the appropriation for the settlement in Belleville versus Dunleavy. And in that case, it's been discussed pretty extensively in this committee and in the public. There was a concern the judge in the lawsuit found that the governor and his chief of staff had acted in a way that was a clear and knowing violation of the Constitution. And so when that happens, and it's actually very rare that it does happen. In fact, this is, as we believe, is the only instance where this has happened in the state of Alaska.
If we could just have a brief fade, is it? Come back on the record. I apologize. The chairman was daydreaming when we got up to amendment number 17. I didn't recall if I had objected to the adoption, and I'm sure there would have been other people chirping up if I did in fact do that. But so anyway, I apologize for that. Senator Welikowski, would you go ahead and continue your discussion on amendment number 17, please? And you could back up and restate stuff too, so it's, because I cut you off mid-sentence, I think, or mid-paragraph.
Thank you. So there was a lawsuit that was filed over the firing of Mr. Belleville. And when that lawsuit was heard, it was determined that the governor and his chief of staff had violated Mr. Belleville's constitutional rights. The judge found that qualified immunity was pierced or did not apply, and that the governor and the chief of staff were personally responsible. Unfortunately, the state then settled the case, and it's my position that that shouldn't have happened. It's my position, and I think many people's position, that because there was personal liability found, that the state should not be responsible for paying this. However, the problem that we face now is you have a settlement, and I am concerned about the state's, when the state settles a case, that the state honor those settlements. And so, Mr. Chairman, I want to continue having a discussion with the Department of Law as to an appropriate way to deal with this situation. And so I know this was not funded in the House budget. So at this time, I'm going to withdraw this amendment and continue to work with the department to have this discussion and see if there's another way that we can resolve this.
Great, thank you. So the sponsor is withdrawing amendment number 17. We'll go on now to amendment number 18. Senator Wilikowski.
Move amendment number 18.
I'll object for discussion. Senator Wilikowski. Yeah.
This deals with the revised program legislative issue, Mr. Chairman, and this is something my staff has worked pretty extensively on. We have a piece of legislation dealing with this that just got moved into this committee, and just trying to figure out a way so that the legislature, as the appropriating body, does not lose its authority or right to have a say in how funding is appropriated. We saw this with a lot of CARES funding. As the legislature left session early, we had about $1 billion come in state funding, and that funding was not appropriated by the legislature, and it was proposed in an RPL by the governor. And I think that created a lot of concern among legislators, members of the public, as to that process. So this attempts to clean that up, to put some more sideboards on it, strengthen our constitutional right to be the appropriating body. And I'm open to suggestions, Mr. Chairman. We've been working pretty hard to try to figure out if this is the right way to do it. And if members think there's a different way or a better way, I'm certainly open to that. And I know this is not the final day of this process, Mr. Chairman. So I'm happy to continue to work with the committee if people have concerns over how this is written or if there's a better way to do it.
Okay, and if I could add a little bit, there's we have been working on the RPL language, and it appears to be a little tight that we have. We're working on loosening it up a little bit and working with the LBNA chairman, Senator Von Imhoff, and Senator Wilikowski and other senators that, you know, are actively paying attention to this. So that is a work in process for most likely the next time the bill comes up.
So with that, Mr. Chair, I will withdraw the amendment and continue to work with your office and with people in the committee to try to figure out a way to make sure we're following our constitutional obligation to be the appropriating body rather than delegate that to the executive branch.
Okay, thank you. So amendment number 18 is pulled. Subject matter will continue to be worked on and forthcoming amendments the next time we bring the bill up. We'll move on to amendment number 19. Senator Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move amendment number 19.
I'll object.
Mr. Chair, this amendment basically pays a 50-50 dividend with a contingency piece of language saying that if we do pass a version of 199 as a 50-50, that both would not be paid. We understand this, we're a little late in the session of getting that bill hopefully to the other body to consider, but just in case we don't, I would like to have a contingency piece of language within our budget bill that would still guarantee a dividend at this higher amount. I understand the other body put in a an amount very similar to this if you add up the energy rebate and this, but energy rebate is not subject to the hold harmless as the dividend is, and so that would actually could cause more harm than actually good in this wonderful time of inflation and other issues that we have. We have the funding and surplus that we can afford a 50-50 dividend this year, as that's what that other piece of legislation starts with, and just want to offer this as a compromise in terms of having a placeholder within our budget.
Okay. We have further comments on amendment number 19. I'll go ahead and maintain my objection to the adoption of amendment number 19. Clerk, please call the roll.
Senator Wilson.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Olson.
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
No.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
No.
Senator
Stedman. No. Amendment number 19 failed to pass. We're now on to amendment 20. Senator Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number 20.
And I'll object for discussion. Senator Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. When the reverse sweep failed vote We knew that there was going to be negative impacts. After reviewing the 23 proposed budget, we find that we find millions of unrestricted general revenues being requested for the backfill of some of these accounts and funds that were targeted in the FY22 general fund sweep. This amendment number 20 provides the legislature an opportunity to do the reverse sweep, and I submit this amendment for consideration to correct some of those negative impacts to those six departments that we have to expend those 33.7 million unnecessarily, and possibly the other ramifications that we have not yet seen yet, because we have not had the single audit returned to us for consideration or review by the legislature yet. But I feel that that will have other consequences to be known of that failure to have a sweep.
Do we have any further comments on this, Senator Von Imhoff?
So for the maker of amendment, so it requires a three-quarters vote to pass a reverse sweep, but what you're asking to do with this amendment is to reverse the reverse sweep, I guess, and resupply these various different funds with money. And what if we don't get it? Do we need a three-quarter vote for this? Is this constitutional to undo the reverse sweep?
Yes.
Okay, so as a point here, when we move through our budget process, we have a three-quarter vote requirement to access the Constitutional Budget Reserve and do a reverse sweep. But that mechanism doesn't need to be put in until we're in the conference committee, until the final budget goes together between the House and the Senate on the negotiations. And that vote to adopt the conference committee report and other documents is when the critical vote for the reverse sweep and accessing the CBR is important. If this was to take place, it would really have no effect until it's repeated on the last vote. So it's just a redundant opportunity. You only need to have the three-quarter vote one time after the conclusion of the conference committee. So it's not warranted in this budget at this time. So we have further comments on Senator Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm aware of that. I just wanted to put this before the committee at this time, as we should fix this, what I feel was a mistake by the previous legislature in having that failure due to the implications that we could later have some other legal implications due to some federal funds and settlements that are funded out of that reverse sweep that are now in the general fund. And there we know of several funds that could fall subject to that. So just want to put this to the committee's attention, and I hope that the conference committee at the end will have that language within that. And with that, I'll withdraw amendment number 20.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Wilson. Amendment number 20 was withdrawn. We'll go on now to amendment number 21.
I'm not going to offer that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Amendment number 21 is pulled. Do we have any? That concludes the list here. Do we have other amendments at this time? There will be a future opportunity, but at this time, for committee members would like to put on the table. Seeing none, that concludes this portion of amending House Bill 281. We're going to take a brief at ease. We'll come back on the record. This pretty much concludes the meeting today, but I want to make a brief comment. The previous amendment that was offered by Senator Wilson concerning the Constitutional Budget Reserve and the reverse sweep, Monday afternoon, we're going to have a hearing and update on the reverse sweep status with the various departments and have some discussions. That'll be Monday afternoon. For those that are interested in this subject, they'll probably find it pretty interesting. It gets complicated fast, but it is important. And we can also, again, go over when the critical vote on those are actually needed and taken. So this will conclude the meeting today. I'd like to thank the committee for working through all these amendments. And the chair will work with individual offices on a couple other loose ends that we have. And we'll try to get that wrapped up in the next time we bring the bill up, the final amendments. So with that, we'll see everybody here at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. We are adjourned at 2:24 or 3:00.